Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things I love about being a part of a liturgical church is that we take Holy Week very seriously. All Christians observe it, of course, but we have this wonderful tradition of having services on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. It's not just Palm Sunday, then Easter. And the reason I love that is that it kind of walks the pathway with the Lord, right? It happens in real time. So it's literally the case that last Sunday is the anniversary of the Lord Jesus going to Jerusalem. Palm Sunday. He entered the city on a Sunday, right? I don't mean the anniversary like the exact date, but the liturgical anniversary of our Lord entering the holy city. Jesus has been teaching and preaching for 3 years. But he came for this. He came for this. For you. And on Saturday, Sunday, he entered in the city, and what are people saying? Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's noisy, it's crowded, there's people thronging around. The disciples are saying, this is it, man. We have come to rule. The throngs of people. That's Sunday, literally Sunday. And then Monday, then Tuesday, then Wednesday, and most of Thursday, Jesus is going to the Temple Mount every single day and teaching. And teaching parables, teaching very tough things about the religious leaders, teaching a lot of tough things about what Israel has gotten wrong. And teaching about who he is. And there's two things, I never want us to forget this, two things that are going on at the exact same time. When Jesus is teaching, I want us to know this. The first thing is he's gaining in popularity. Right? Jesus is teaching against the abuses, all the fundraising that goes on at the temple, all the shabby religious practices of that day. Jesus is gaining supporters. They hear that and people are like, yeah, yeah, what he said. So that's one track. Jesus is gaining in popularity, but at the same time, the second thing is that the intensity of the opposition against him is growing. They've been saying for months, what are we going to do? Now he's in Jerusalem. You know what they're saying now, right? We have to kill him. We have to kill Jesus. If not, the Romans will come and take away all the good stuff we've built up for ourselves. Right? That's been going on. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, earlier today, I want us to get this, that Jesus is going to the Temple Mount. There's throngs of people. It's noisy. It's chaotic. It's hectic. There is intense love of Jesus. There's intense hatred of Jesus. And Thursday night, literally right now, so think of being in church on Sunday, we had our palms, right? From that day to right now, Jesus has been teaching and the noise and the crowds. And Thursday night, they come apart like this. They come aside in a quiet moment. And I want us to get this. They have the Passover. That's what Jesus said. Go into the city that we can celebrate what? The Passover. They have been celebrating the Passover for 1,500 years. 1,500 years, the people of Israel have celebrated that our God delivered us from slavery in Egypt. It's a wonderful memorial meal. I don't want to read all of Exodus 12 right now, but I want us to recall some of what's going on. You know this stuff, but Israel is enslaved in Egypt, the world's strongest superpower, and they are slaves. Can they deliver themselves? No. If they ever get out, what will it be? The work of God and God alone. And God has sent 9 plagues, and the Pharaoh will not budge, right? Each getting worse, each getting more intense. And Pharaoh getting more stubborn. The 10th plague is terrible. God says, I will send a plague on the firstborn son. From the richest to the poorest, every house in the land, the eldest son will die. Except, right? Except if you have a Passover lamb and you take his blood and you put it on the door here and here and here. Crazy, right? Almost 1,500 years before Jesus, Israel's making the sign of the cross with the blood of the lamb, and God says, when I see that, I will what? Pass over. Now imagine this. The disciples have celebrated the Passover every year they've been alive. Once a year, always in the spring. Actually, right now, this time of year. This is the difference. I want us to make this shift. An Old Testament meal is going to become a New Testament sacrament. Right? A New Testament sacrament. And at some level, dealing with Jesus, it always sounds like he's being braggadocious, except he's not because of who he is. Right? The things he says would be crazy. Except if you actually are the Son of God, right? It's either a lunatic or the Lord Jesus. That's not my phrase. Some writer said that, right? That's right. Lunatic or Lord. They've done it, and they've done it, and they've done it. And this time, he says, this is my body. Can you imagine? This is my body. This is my blood. They're thinking that it's been nice, right? It's been quiet. They're in an upper room. Small group. We don't know how many were there, but a few. All the apostles, of course. Maybe some others. But they're set aside from the crowd, from the noise. They have the Passover. And then Jesus teaches something strange. This is my body. This is my blood that I'm going to offer for the sins of the world. Now, having said that, I want you to turn in your hymnal to page 326. It's not a hymn. It's the catechism. And I want us to look at something here. And I know we do it every week in church. I know it's familiar to us, but I think it's good from time to time to recognize and remember, to recall, what are we doing? And I'm not going to read every word of the catechism, but on page 326 in the hymnal, by the way, if you didn't know this yet, now you do, the entire catechism is in the hymnal. Luther asked some wonderful questions. I want to look at them. About the sacrament of the altar, I'm going to paraphrase. The first question is this: what is it? That's a valid question. What is it? We do this every week. What is it? The body and blood of Christ. By the way, with the bread and the wine, right? He says there's bread and wine, there's the body and blood for us Christians to eat and to drink. Now, I want us to get this. Do not overthink it. Theologians love Latin phrases. And the Lutherans condemn the Presbyterians, and the Presbyterians condemn the Lutherans, and we all disagree with the Methodists. Well, we all disagree with the Baptists for sure, right? Those are our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We're not supposed to overthink it. This is the body and blood of Christ. We don't need a Latin phrase. We don't need a fancy word like transubstantiation versus consubstantiation. When you're a Lutheran pastor, people always send you that email. Pastor, I heard that Lutherans support consubstantiation. We don't say that. Non-Lutherans say that about Lutherans. That's not our word. What's the word? This is the body and blood of Christ. Now, what's the next question? Where's that? You can't just say stuff like that. Where is that? In the Bible, thanks be to God, right? We don't just say, hey, Luther said. We say this is the body and blood of Christ with the bread and the wine given for us Christians to eat and to drink. Why would you say that, Luther? Well, he says, actually, it's said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul. When he says Paul, he means 1 Corinthians 11 that was just read. Funny enough, John doesn't say much about it because the other Gospels have already done it. But then he lists all those things. What is it? Body and blood of Christ, the bread and wine. Where's that written? In the Bible. Isn't that always the answer? I hope. If we assert something theologically and it's not in the Bible, we have to drop it. Many of you know if I teach Bible class, I always say to people, you can say to me, do you have Bible for that? Because if I don't have Bible for it, you just heard Walt's opinions. I want you to hear something crazy. Are you ready? Walt's opinions are not normative to your thought process. Did you know that? Now, the Word of God, that is. Where is this? It's in the Bible. What does it do? That's the next question. What does it do? Gives you the forgiveness of sins. Christ is present. He says, this is my body given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. It's wonderful, right? A little bread, a little wine, a little time at the altar, and you leave here renewed. Your sins are forgiven. I love this about the Passover. They put the blood on the door. Who's saved? Everybody inside the door. What kind of sinners might be in there? I want us to get this. All kinds. And I want to be careful because a lot of times we think, well, my sins, we know to say I'm a sinner, but we all get tempted to think my sins aren't as bad as that other guy. It's very clear. The blood of the Lamb covers every sin. The little ones, which, by the way, are always worse than we think, and the big ones, which aren't quite as damning as we think, right? The forgiveness of sins. Well, here's a great thing. That's a big claim. The body and blood of Christ is here for the forgiveness of your sins. Luther literally says, how can that happen? How can that be? How does bread and wine give you the forgiveness of sins? It's very simple. Jesus said so. That's good enough for me, right? That works for me. Jesus said so. It's not the commission on worship of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. It's not Pastor Walt's last sermon on the sacrament. Jesus said, this is my body and my blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Is that sufficient? Yeah. We receive it every week. I hope it never becomes just formulaic, right? Like, oh, here we do this. No, we do this to what? To be forgiven. And his last question is so wonderful. I wish I could just pound this into everybody's head. Who's worthy to receive it? Yeah, it's a two-half question, right? Part of the answer is nobody. But are you ready for the other half? Everybody that believes. That's what it says. Whoever has faith in these words is worthy. Whoever has what? Faith. How are you saved? Faith. How do you receive the sacrament? By faith. The Bible does not say, if you were really good this week, come to the altar. The reason I say I would love to beam that into everybody's heads, I kid you not, as recently as this week, I've gotten emails and Facebook inbox messages, I won't say from who, but people saying, I wrestle with my sins, am I worthy? What's the answer? Well, you're a sinner. If you look at yourself, you're not worthy. If you look at Christ, you're totally worthy. Because I think we sort of think that, well, I've committed this sin, I better do some good works to work them off, right? You know what I mean? Like, how big a check do I need to write at the church? I don't know, you guys have been terrible. You better write a big check. No, it's not like that. Who's worthy? By the way, did you notice Luther says, fasting and bodily preparation are good. There's nothing against fasting. Fasting, if you do it for works righteousness, that's not good. But he says fasting's perfectly good. But the person is worthy who what? Believes these words given and shed for you. So the Lord Jesus had the sacrament with his disciples. Guess what we're going to do? We're going to have the sacrament. What day is it? Thursday. It would have been wonderful, right? Can you imagine receiving the sacrament from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? It would have been wonderful. It would have been the perfect ending for a day. And that's what they were thinking. And then they came to arrest him, right? That's the crazy week that the disciples had. Just a few days ago was Hosanna in the highest. and he's been teaching to adoring crowds, and we're going to have this supper, and he's going to be led away. He'll die tomorrow. Come tomorrow, attend a wonderful service. But imagine that. That's the way this service went. We're going to have the sacrament. Rejoice in the sacrament. The body and blood of Christ is here for you and for me for the forgiveness of your sins. But then the service ends a little quietly. Because having been fed, the Lord is taken away to go to a sham trial. The words that happen throughout here have to be said. Everything about it. Two words, are you ready? You know them, I'm sure. Are you ready? For you. Right? That's the whole thing. Sacrament, for you. The arrest, for you. The cross, for you. Easter Sunday, that's also for you. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.